Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Chinese Vice President Xi Jinping may have been wined and dined all over the U.S. this past week, but the highlight of his trip happens tonight. He's got tickets to see the Lakers in Los Angeles. Of course, no visiting leader from China these days can avoid a tour of the port of L.A. Yesterday, he was shown around China's shipping terminal in the midst of a massive expansion. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa made sure to emphasize how green the project is for his guests and the communities that surround the port complex.
All of these ships are going to link into electric power.
In 2004, China shipping vessels became the first to plug into electric power at the dock rather than burn fossil fuel. The company and the port were nudged, if not shoved, into what's called cold ironing by a lawsuit. The shift has since become a point of pride, one local officials like to point out to visiting dignitaries. After months of raucous public meetings, Riverside County supervisors voted 3-2 to block a proposed quarry yesterday. County Supervisor Jeff Stone voted against the project.
I believe the risk to the health and safety of our residents outweighs the alleged benefits it promises to deliver.
Watsonville-based Granite Construction wanted to chisel deep into the foothills above Temecula for materials to supply construction projects in the region. Some see the vote as a sign the rising population of Riverside has become more interested in its environmental quality of life than jobs. But the battle over Liberty Quarry may not be over. After San Diego County rejected a much smaller mine, Granite waged a lengthy court battle to win approval. Every February, trucks carrying 1.5 million beehives pull up alongside California's blooming almond orchards. It's the largest pollination event in the world. Bees are still dying off in great numbers, and there are a number of theories about why that's happening. But some beekeepers think they've honed in on a key culprit: pesticides. The California Report's brave Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca suffered bee stings to bring us this story.
It's nearly 8 p.m., and Jeff Anderson is slowly backing his big rig into an almond orchard. His cargo? Literally millions of bees. A helper lifts the hives off the truck with a forklift. They're working in the dark, no headlights to draw out the bees, and communicating over CB radio.
You only got 2 stacks left on here, or you got 3? You got 2, right?
No, I got 2 on there now.
Inside the truck, bees swarm the windshield. They crawl along Anderson's beard. One even climbs up my pants and stings me on the leg.
You gonna make it?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm not allergic, so.
Okay. I generally don't get reporters stung.
It's okay. Yeah,
though it seems like his bees are everywhere, Anderson has actually lost about 1/4 of his hives this winter. He's heard all the theories about why bees are dying. Mites, zombie fly parasites, poor diet. He thinks pesticides may be to blame. We sit down on top of some wooden hives on the edge of an almond orchard as the moon rises, and he explains why.
A pesticide problem in Minnesota very definitely can affect my bees here in California.
Every winter, Anderson and his family caravan from Minnesota to the Central Valley with thousands of beehives. Then they return to Minnesota to a bee yard surrounded by cornfields.
And it seems like every year it gets just a tad bit worse than the previous year. During corn planting time, we have a light kill of bees. They're not totally dead in a lot of cases. The bees are like stunned or spastic or, you know, lethargic or all the above.
Anderson thinks the problem is a new class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are increasingly applied to seeds for crops like corn and soybeans.
So basically what we've been able to do is develop a new generation of insecticides that are very effective and really much safer for the environment.
Dave Fisher studies toxicology for Bayer Crop Science, which manufactures many of these pesticides.
The chemical is actually inside the plant, and that protects it. And you don't have to be spraying pesticides as often.
The substance is actually applied to the seed, which grows into a more pest-resistant plant. The EPA says these pesticides are safer for humans and mammals than chemicals sprayed on crops. But two new studies are raising questions about the safety of neonicotinoids for bees.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunt from Purdue University. I'm a bee researcher there.
Hunt's team examined bees around fields planted with neonicotinoid-treated corn seeds.
And it turns out that these pesticides are the most toxic thing that I can find for bees.
Corn farmers put talcum powder on the pesticide-treated seeds before they go on a planting machine. Hunt's study found the talc gets in the air and leaves pesticide residue in nearby soil and dandelions. He documented dead bees that tested positive for the pesticide near the cornfield. In another study, the USDA's lead bee scientist, Dr. Jeff Pettis, fed a similar pesticide to bees, and he found they were more vulnerable to a parasite in their gut.
We have a very similar parasite like this in humans. It's Giardia.
What was striking, Pettis says, is that the bees exposed to even low levels of the chemical still got sick. He doesn't think pesticides are the only explanation for massive bee deaths, though he says they're an important part of the puzzle. But does he think neonicotinoid pesticides should be pulled from the market?
That is the tough question, because I think, without a doubt, studies will show that there are effects of pesticide use on pollinator health. And we have to find a way to balance, you know, increase food production to meet the growing demand for food around the world with the need to protect pollinators.
In other words, balance the pesticides that help farmers grow more corn and soybeans with protecting the bees that pollinate most of the nation's fruits and nuts. Meanwhile, beekeepers and pesticide activists are asking regulators to ban some neonicotinoid pesticides, as France, Germany, and Italy have done. The EPA has asked pesticide manufacturers to further test the risk to bees from these chemicals, but the EPA's pesticide chief says the agency doesn't have enough conclusive evidence to justify pulling neonicotinoids off the shelf. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
And that's the California Report for Friday, February 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller. Sarah Bond and Nina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Andres Barraza and Liz Reed. The editor is Dan Brecky, with help this week from Pat Flynn, Tyke Hendricks, and Tara Seiler. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohn, with help from David Marks. The producer is Victoria Malleone. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, celebrating the 2012 recipients of the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Award. More information is available at www.irvine.org. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.